LZ, I gotten some text from some buddies who were listening to us, and one of them suggested that I should have wanted to own my own restaurant. That seems like a lot more work than it is fun. That's like an absolutely bad.
That's not a dream job.
Does not mean you should own a restaurant, right?
Amen. When I was one of the co-owners of some nightclubs, one of them had a kitchen. And that kitchen was the bane of my existence, man. It was always something. Always. And we weren't cooking like gourmet food. It was bar food. But, man, it was always something in that damn kitchen. Eventually, we just stopped selling food. Because it wasn't even worth it. Because I was just like, we're spending so much money, and this is taking up so much manpower, and we're actually losing money. But the philosophy is, and anyone who's in a restaurant knows this, is that if you offer food that's salty, that encourages the patrons to drink more. And drinking is where you make your money. So I just swapped out all the fresh hot food and french fries and burgers, Travis and Raj, and I just started selling chips and popcorn. This guy's salt.
Yeah, here,
this'll make him thirsty.
Here's a bowl of peanuts. Go to work.
Hey, nothing like some salt when you're drinking, man. People love that salt when you're drinking.
So yeah, you don't want that restaurant life, man. Unless you really, really, really love to cook and you're a chef or something, that was your dream. Yeah, loving to eat is not enough for the work that's necessary to run a restaurant.
But by Raj, you couldn't be more right. When you're in the middle of that night and all of a sudden you find that bowl of peanuts or pretzels or chips or whatever it is, that's like the greatest thing you've ever eaten in your entire life. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't get enough of it. What would also be one of the greatest moments in your life would be getting to hit Alex Bregman with a fastball. And it happened yesterday. The Royals, and keep in mind, summer camp games, we've only had these for a couple of days because of the pandemic. And the Astros were playing the Kansas City Royals, and both Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve got hit early in the game. And while I'm here for it, and I hope that this becomes a trend, and Vegas thinks that it will be, according to the odds on who's going to lead baseball in HBPs, both of those came with the bases loaded. And I know that you can try to disguise it, as you were saying, LZ, but no one, I don't care who you are, nobody in professional baseball wants to give up runs. It's your livelihood. It's the way to get removed from the team and have to go get a real job, so they're not going to do it. The one on Springer, perhaps later, maybe possibly intentionally, but hopefully this sparks a trend and guys are lighting up the Astros all season long.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I said, I am normally and not someone in full support of these arbitrary baseball rules, the unspoken rules that I think really makes the game, makes it harder for people to enjoy. Not into that. But I'm here for this. I'm here for this because baseball didn't get it right.
Exactly.
So baseball is going to, so the players are going to fix it. And I love that because to not have any players punished for blatantly cheating in that fashion, and then on the back end, just go ahead and just treat it as if, yeah, we did it, so what? Which makes it even worse. So I love the fact that whether it was done on purpose or not, that they got popped. And I don't want the commissioner to come in and start threatening people, because had he done what he needed to do the first go round, he wouldn't need to threaten people because they would have been satisfied with the punishment. So I don't want you now to come on the back end and try and clean up the mess that you made. You had your shot. Now it's up to the players to enact their vigilante justice. And I'm here for Batman with the baseball bat.
No, you're right. Baseball had a chance to make a statement. And that statement would have been, this is egregious. This completely destroyed an entire season worth of Major League Baseball. The Astros are not the champ. I know that we would love to see the Dodgers win a championship, but you don't have to award it to the Dodgers because, quite honestly, the Yankees have as much claim to it as the Dodgers do. So you can't give it to anybody else, but you sure as hell can take it away. And they didn't. And then on top of that, not only did they not take it away, they didn't punish anybody. Jose Altuve clearly did it. They all clearly did it. So you can't just say, oh, well, you know, we don't have the enough evidence to punish this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. When you're clutching your jersey after hitting a walk-off home run to send your team to the World Series and you immediately run into the clubhouse, you're guilty. I don't care about a court. You're guilty. You did it. We've heard the trash can. Clayton Kershaw is one of the greatest pitchers ever. Okay, I'm not even going to say one of the greatest Dodger pitchers, one of the greatest pitchers of his generation. Those are both true as well. Clayton Kershaw is one of the greatest pitchers ever and had a 4-run lead and a 3-run lead against you guys until you started banging your trash can and you had one swing and miss on one of his most devastating pitches the entire game. You cheated. So if baseball's not going to fix it, we will. And like you said, I'm not here for vindictiveness typically, and I'm really not here for any sort of unwritten rules that these guys enforce. You know, the Madison Bumgarners of Major League Baseball, I can't stand that. I can't stand this, oh, you got to do it the right way and put your head down and run the bases, and, you know, I'm going to throw one in your back if you don't do it.
That's garbage.
That's stupid. That's garbage because you made a bad pitch and Max Muncy hit it into the bay. That's not anything Max Muncy did. That means you threw a bad pitch and he beat you. But if you're not going to fix this,
go write another ATV.
We will do it. And so when it starts to happen, baseball's put itself in a really tough position because, first of all, it's really hard to prove intent in these situations because you can always say, it slipped, right? And now all of a sudden, too, because we're in the situation we're in, because it's only a 60-game season, any sort of suspensions that you hand out could be potentially season-altering. If you let's just pick a guy at random. Okay, let's say Walker Buehler puts one in Lance Bregman's back. And from my lips to God's ears, let's hope that happens. Right? A 98-mile-an-hour fastball right between his shoulder blades and just whap, and he drops. And baseball comes in and says, okay, that was intentional. Walker Buehler is suspended for 2 starts or whatever it might be. That could change the damn season. That because not having him for a couple of games when he's only going to make 10 or 12 starts to begin with could change the season. So now you're telling the Astros that you're going to change the season to their benefit again because you didn't fix it the first time. Baseball's in a virtually impossible situation to police this because they blanked it up from the start.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like that.
Look out for the cheaters. We got you. We got you. We got you in our sights, and you can't run and you can't hide. You know, if baseball had done the smart thing, you might have been spared. The smart thing would have been to start the season and finish the season in a bubble in either the great state of Arizona or the questionable state of Florida. That would have been the smart thing because then you wouldn't have to worry about the fans and the traveling and the blah, 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 blah. And it would be a lot easier to police certain things because you're not traveling and everyone's concentrated in one area. Unfortunately, baseball didn't help you out in that regard. They couldn't get their ish together. And now you're traveling and now you're going to stadium. And that just, in my opinion, opens you up even more to this sort of vigilante justice. But I don't really care. I don't care.
Exactly.
If this was serious radio, the things I would say about how little I cared would be really bad for young ears. And you would need me to be on cable or something like that. Because that's how legitimately, I just don't care about your well-being. That's where I'm at right now. I don't care that you could get hurt. I don't. Because you've hurt us. And you've hurt the sport. And you've hurt the fans of the sport. And you hurt the integrity of sports in general. So I don't really care if you have a bad bruise on your hip. I don't. Now, obviously, I don't want any pitcher to do something dangerous.
Below the neck.
I'm not advocating for danger. Below the neck. I would even say below the nipples. Nipples
below. It's a smaller target, but sure.
You know, just I don't want you to, you know, below the neck could still be dangerous. So I'm going to say hit them below the nipples and have at it, baseball. Batman, Robin, all of you, just bam, 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 bam. And every single time they get hit, they're going to know why they're getting hit. That's what I love. And they can say whatever they want in front of a microphone, but they're going to know why they got beamed. And I love that. You didn't get away with it, buddy.
Look, you talk about old school. I mean, is there anybody that's more old school than Dusty Baker? I mean, that guy's been around forever. This is a guy that was a player forever, and he's been a manager in baseball forever. There's nothing he hasn't seen in a baseball game. He knows what's coming. That's why in spring training 1.0, he was saying from the, hey, you got to protect my guys, because he knows that this is exactly what's going to happen. And we're going to see it sooner than later, because the schedule got changed and teams are only playing in their own geographic region. The Dodgers only play NL West and AL West teams. They went from no games against the Astros to quite a few games against the Astros. In fact, we all know they open up against the Giants on Thursday. They got a four-game series against San Francisco. Then on Sunday, they jump on a plane and they go to Houston to take on the Astros. And you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And maybe it depends on how many of those four games against the Giants they win. Maybe it depends on just the way that the games progress in those two games. But you got to imagine that the Dodgers are already having, if not discussions, it's already just kind of those knowing looks across the clubhouse. Like, we know what we got to do when we go in there, right? At the same time, you can't put yourself in too big of a pickle because of the reasons I said, that there's just not enough games. If you know, pick a guy. If Julio Urias gets suspended for a couple of games during the regular season, who really cares? We've got another 158 of these things to get through. But in this, it makes a big difference. But they have to do something. They have there has to be some retribution on this, and the Dodgers are going to win plenty of games along the way in these 60 games. So maybe they do take a, you know what? I don't care if we lose tonight. I don't care if I lose a player, but we're going to let you know what you did is not okay. And it's not just going to be the Dodgers, because everybody else in baseball got ripped off too.
Absolutely. But you know what though, Travis, like, seriously, we don't even need to get you this year. See, this is the kind of thing where you can get beamed three seasons from now and you could disguise it as a whoopsie-doo, when really it's like, yeah, 4 years ago, you cheated and I didn't forget. You know, some rivalries in baseball as well as other sports, you know, I'm thinking about the Steelers and I believe the Browns, for instance. They have to have the Steelers and the Ravens. They have a long history of disliking each other. And there are dirty hits being made for something you did 2 years ago. And they just held on to it and remembered it. And the opportunity finally presented itself and they gotcha. So I understand that you can't necessarily risk losing games this year because they're already 60. But that doesn't mean you can't get them next year when there's 160 and you can afford to be suspended, because you'll still be bad. I know I still will be, because even if we win this year, then I'm thinking, well, we should have won 2 out of 3. Right? So now I'm still going to be mad. So I'm not going to lose that anger. I'm not going to lose that emotion. And the opportunity to get revenge is not going to be lost just because you can't get it done in 60 games.
I want it now. I want it now. I want it in the first inning of the first game. And I want who's ever on the mound to look Alex Bregman in the eye and say, what? What? And just stand there and stare at him, because he's been the biggest offender. They're all guilty. They all did it. But his deal, this arrogance, this, well, you're still coming to pay to see me. He said that to one of the fans in spring training. You're the one spending your money to come and see me, when they were booing him. His attitude is by far the most offensive to me. So I don't care who it is. I like somebody with an absolutely electric fastball, but somebody needs to paint that dude and keep it moving. I don't know if it's pandemic. I don't know if it's just that people are outside and doing, but we have another bear incident. And this one didn't go nearly as well as with the lady with the selfie in Mexico. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Yee yee.
So we all like to get out, right? We all like to get out and get outside and go for a hike, go for a walk. Ozzy, I know you like to go for a run every once in a while. And, you know, we've been talking about this a lot. There are critters out there, especially in California. There are critters everywhere. There's snakes, there's mountain lions, as we're finding out, more and more bears. In Mexico the other day, this young lady was taking a walk, a hike with her friend, and a black bear came up behind her. And she just very calmly took out her phone and took a picture with it. Like, the bear's up on its hind leg, standing there like it's a stuffed bear in a restaurant or something. And she's taking a picture. Only the thing could have, you know, clubbed her aside the head at any moment. It didn't. Well, I guess it's a good thing that this lady didn't see this before there, because there was a Canadian hiker who was going on, and a similar animal, another black bear, comes out of the trail in front of her, and the bear got spooked. Never mind the lady, the bear got spooked, and this bear clubbed her across the face with its paw and knocked her down. So that seems to me like the much more likely ending with an encounter with a bear as opposed to taking a selfie. This is why, Raj, and I'm looking at you directly, you should probably not mess with black bears.
Well, oh, what, I'm supposed to mess with the white bears? They're friendlier.
Right.
Well, I did some more reading on this, guys. And if you think you're noticing more and more encounters with bears and animals, you are. And the reason is because of the pandemic, there are less, like there are smaller groups and less people. So these animals are becoming more comfortable and venturing out a little farther. So they're not coming out to hunt or this and that. They're just like, oh, okay, we got some free range. And so that's what's happening. So there are more interactions with them. But as you saw, the bear was just startled. Like, we scared them. And it was like, oh, my bad. Baby. Excuse me, miss. And just kept moving.
Yeah, so, well, luckily she still has her face and her life.
Yeah, listen, man, I'm not messing with no bears, man. I'm just not going to bear country. You know, every single time
you already are.
Mentions. No. I do not visit you. I don't visit you. I don't visit because you guys have bear encounters. Travis and I, we can meet at a neutral site that's bear free. I'm into that. But the very first thing I said when we started looking for a house to buy in Arizona, I said to the realtor, "Are there any bears around here?" And the guy was like, "What?" I was like, "It's a yes or no question."
Yeah, this is not a trick question. I'm asking.
Yeah. I'm not doing no bears, man. No bears. I'm like, I'll mess with a fox. You know, if you want to tell me there's some foxes.
Well, you can kick a fox. Like fox. A fox may come up and try to nibble your toe or something, but you can take care of it. Did you ask this question, LZ? Because I lived in Arizona for a while myself, and I remember seeing these things. Do you know what a javelina is?
What?
Yes, I call them angry bacon.
Okay, so a javelina is basically a wild pig for people who don't
know. Pumba.
Basically, yes. It's exactly. Like Pumba. Exactly. It's a Kumbha wild Tata. Pig, and it does have those little tusks, and they're mean as hell, and they're all over Arizona. So while you may be bear-free, you may not be angry bacon-free.
Yeah, I keep my eye out for the angry bacon. You know, we have a pair of dogs. One of them we call Rufus the Doofus. Rufus will go up and start something with the angry bacon, and then I got to be in the vet office like for the next 6 hours trying to help him get stitched up. Casper is literally me as a dog. Casper's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not messing with angry bacon. I'm not messing with any bears. I'm going to stay over here and mind my own business. Rufus would be like going, oh, what's up, pig? You want to fight? Bear? When there's a bear in the driveway? Rawr. And it's just like going, oh, no, I can't with you.
Yeah, well.
And Roz is Rufus as a dog. Roz and Rufus would get along really, really well because they would just do stupid stuff together.
It's not stupid. It's just exploring nature. That's why you had Jacques Cousteau and you had encyclopedias where you got to look in the books and look at all these wonderful animals. Now you get to have encounters with them as long as you're smart about it. And remember yellow and black, you're safe, Jack. Just remember the little nursery rhymes.
Red and yellow kill a fella. Right?
Yeah, and then just, you know, the mamas with the cubs, maybe stay away a little bit. But otherwise, you're all right. You know, there's
just
only
so
one mammal.
Yeah. Jacques Cousteau was in a boat. He wasn't actually in there swimming around with the sharks without a cage or anything. Like, there are some safety precautions that these naturalists take. Just throwing that out there. I'd hate to find out, like, Jacques Cousteau did it. I don't know why I got eaten by a hammerhead shark or whatever it might be. just take some precautions, my man.
There's only one mammal I'm frightened of, and there's one mammal on record that will hunt and try and eat humans as prey, and that's a polar bear. Other than that, you're safe. And I don't plan on going to Antarctica anytime soon.
I thought you were
going to
say the bartender in Pasadena the last time we were there for remote, but you were saying like, you eat polar bear?
Oh my goodness.
That's true. You guys got to get into encyclopedias more. Come on, man.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'm glad that
I'm not messing with any animals, man. I'm not messing with any animals. Silly. And you're stupid, and you're going to end up like that woman who had the wrong bear encounter.
Well, how about this for a quote from this lady? Obviously, I was scared afterwards because all I could see was the blood pouring out of my face and onto the rest of my body. Not knowing how bad the cut was freaked me out. Yeah, I would think it probably would if you got swatted upside the head with a bear paw. I think that's probably a fairly terrifying moment.
Here's the problem, Travis. This is the root of the problem right here. What's the first thing she says in that quote?
I was obviously scared afterwards. because all I could see was beforehand. The blood pouring off my.
You needed to be scared beforehand. If you were scared beforehand, your ass wouldn't have been out there to begin with, and you would have never seen the bear. See, you got scared after the fact. I would have been scared beforehand and wouldn't have ever been out there. That's the problem right there in a nutshell.
Well, guys, speaking of natures, we do have an update quick on our favorite guy in Germany. Speaking of nature things, Black Forest Rambo.
Black Forest Rambo. Yeah.
There are talks we have right now. Guess what they want to do? You know what they want to do, LZ?
We want to make a movie.
They want to do a reality TV show.
Yeah, they want to make a movie or something like that of just how he heroically got away from the police and stayed up there for over for 5.5
Did
days.
Did you say almost heroically?
That's what they're doing.
Raj, I'm going to need you to define
this
heroism.
This is why
that does not seem heroic.
Boycott baseball is existence because of you and that what you just said. Hashtag boycott baseball. Right, what are you talking about heroic?
Maybe a little editing. I'm just saying if I were writing the movie, that's how it would be. Rambo, like Sylvester Stallone did it heroically. You don't know what that man did. You don't know how they were messing with him. But anyway, there are talks of producing a movie or a TV show about his 5.5 days in the Black Forest and how he eluded, 1,500 cops, you say, Trav?
1,500. Look, I'm not going to describe it as heroic, but I'll watch the movie. Anybody that escapes from 1,500 people that are looking for him and creates his own crossbow in the woods, I need to see how that story ends. I need to see how he did it along the way. And by the way, that guy looks fairly terrifying, so why not? Let's let him act it out himself. We can go put him out there. He can do it all over again. Speaking of Major League Baseball, Pedro Gomez will join us next. Get us ready for MLB opening day, which is coming up tomorrow. That's next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Well, we've made it to the starting line. Major League Baseball starts tomorrow. You've got the Nats and the Yankees. And, of course, you've got the Dodgers and the Giants coming up after that. Joining us right now, friend of the program, ESPN MLB insider, Pedro Gomez. Checking in. Pedro, good morning. How you been?
I am well, guys. Wow, no key.
I know, a little different, right?
Yeah. So you got the A group in now. There you go.
I don't know about that.
I'm not into ranking or letters. If I could just be a vowel, because vowels are special, that's good enough for me. So if you say A, it's fine. I'm good with I. I could be the I team.
You don't even have a vowel in your first name.
Well, geez, if you're gonna be all prejudicial like that, Paige, you're fine. Jeez.
You're going against your own rule.
Oh, listen, rules are made to be ignored.
All right, there was a third baseman who played for the Detroit Tigers in the 1970s, and his first name was Aurelio, which means he had A-E-I-O-U in his first name. All five vowels.
He needs a Y, Pedro, because sometimes
sometimes.
Well, the Y is, why are you having so many vowels in your first name? That's the Y.
Aurelio Rodriguez. He had all five in his first name. How about that?
Not bad.
On the other hand, LZ has zero.
Man. I'm I'm trying to figure out if I'm being complimented or is this being an insult. I'm very confused. Very cleverly done.
No, it's an absolute compliment. Come on.
It may be 72 hours before I realize you've been throwing shade at me this whole time. It's like a riddle. I got to figure this out.
Huge praise, man.
All right. Okay. I'm going to take it. When baseball is up and running, where are you going to be when the Dodgers are playing? What is your plan as a journalist? Because to me, this is equally as fascinating because our jobs are to make sure that the fans know the details that they can't see on television. But how do you as a journalist do that if you're not actually able to be in the places you're used to being? So where are you going to be when baseball starts?
Yeah, that's a big issue. Look, I live in Phoenix and we're not really allowed to travel much, so I'm going to be here, and the D-backs do not open at home. They open in San Diego, so I'll be watching the Dodgers on TV. I'll be watching the Yankees and the Nats on TV, and hoping that it is a riveting game or riveting broadcast, because one thing I fear from watching some of these exhibition games, I think I fear that some fans are going to watch a couple of games and say, you know what? It's not the same. I'm not that into this. And maybe turn off. I hope that doesn't happen as a baseball fan. But I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Pedro Gomez joining us here on the morning show. Pedro, we saw a game yesterday between Houston and Kansas City. Houston had three of its players hit. We were talking, you know, a couple of them with the bases loaded, so probably not intentional, but kind of reminded everybody that people are still very upset with the Astros. Do you think that we're going to see a lot of retaliation during a 60-game season, or because these games have so much additional value because there's just not a lot of them, or guys going to have to put their outrage in the back pocket and settle that score down the line?
I don't know. I think that there is still outrage. We saw it during spring training, especially from the Dodgers camp. You saw Cody Bellinger. You saw Justin Turner. You saw Alex Wood. Players, even Clayton Kershaw was talking about it. So there obviously was a lot of outrage back then in February and March about everything that the Astros got caught doing. I don't know that it necessarily disappears. I think that you wait for the right moment, which is normally what happens anyway, but I would not be surprised at all if there is still some simmering leftover from everything, and that players kind of remind themselves amongst themselves, hey, this is, we're still upset about this. Let's make sure we get a little retaliation. You know, in the Royals case yesterday, I thought it was fascinating because, yeah, they hit three Astros. Okay, you'd think with the bases loaded that would not be on purpose, but let's not forget those games don't count, and those Royals pitchers are not going to see the Astros at all this year because of the way the schedules are set up, where West plays West, Central, Central, East, East. So that's it. They don't have to worry about any retaliation on the Royals' part from the Astros saying, hey, we're going to get you back. No, they're not. Not this year, they're not.
Well, I love the fact that, right out the gate, we just were blessed with images of these players getting hit. The question is, will baseball be more aggressive in intervening against this sort of retaliation, or will they allow the baseball? Because to me, this is part of it, right? This has been an accepted part of baseball.
Historically, yes, but not in the last few years. It has not. It's gotten, they've wanted to control it much, much more. So I think baseball will be watching, but the fact that you won't have the fervor from the seats coming with anything that happens, it'll probably make it a lot more difficult for baseball to say, oh, that was on purpose. You're going to have to rely a lot on the umpires. And again, without the fans being involved in everything, I think it just turns all the volume down. And you can just as a pitcher say, hey, man, that pitch got away from me. And it doesn't have the chance to escalate further in the sense of the fans getting involved. Yeah, the players and coaching staffs can certainly turn up the heat a little bit, and that is traditionally what has happened. But when you get the fans incited as well, it just is like, adding lighter fluid to the fire. And so it's going to be interesting to see. But, the Dodgers still have a lot of resentment, and they play the Astros in their division this year. So they play.
Yeah, they play them in 6 days. I mean, they've got them coming up.
Times.
Yeah, right out of the chute. Speaking of the Dodgers, Pedro, obviously it's summer camp. These games don't count. But seeing the way that they've looked against some other teams, seeing them play Arizona twice, seeing them play the Angels last night, is this team that good, that explosive, or are they just having that thing that baseball happens every once in a while? They're seeing the ball really well. They're hot. But they look like they're not going to lose a game at this point.
Yeah, I think it also is the fact that you look at the National League West and – just at least on paper, there's not a serious contender for the Dodgers. The Dodgers clearly stand out way above everybody else in the NL West. I don't know that you could necessarily say that about any other division. Even though the Yankees have a great roster, Tampa Bay's pitching is so incredible that people don't say, oh, the Yankees are going to run away with it. The Dodgers are the only club of the six divisions where you can say that is clearly head and shoulders above anything else in the division, and they should have no trouble doing it. You still have to do it, obviously. We know that part is still there. You have to seriously do it, but man, there's no reason to believe, God, is it 8 division titles in a row they're going for?
Yes.
Yeah, they've done 7, so this would be 8. I don't think there's any reason to believe number 8 won't happen.
If number 8 doesn't happen, are we just the Braves?
No, because the Braves already won a World Series by this time. They had appeared in the World Series many times by now after 8 division titles.
So we're worse than the Braves? Oh, my God. You're saying if we don't do it,
well, one's more than zero.
We're going to be worse than the Braves?
Worse than the Braves? The Braves won 13 straight division titles. That's an incredible number. And they won the World Series. They, you know, I know that John Schuerholz, their legendary GM of that time, said, if we had only won one more World Series, it doesn't matter when, during that run, it just would have cemented our legacy as one of the greatest teams ever. It's funny how if you don't win 2, you're not viewed as that super team. Look, the 86 Mets, the 84 Tigers were incredible clubs, those Braves teams from the 90s. But without a second title, it takes away from your legacy. It doesn't take away from anything you did at the time, but it takes away from your legacy. That's why the Big Red Machine is the Big Red Machine, because they won in both 75 and 76.
Pedro Gomez joining us here on the morning show. Go ahead, LZ. I'm sorry.
No, we're just saying this is incredible that we're talking about you need to win 2 in order to solidify yourself as a great franchise. We just trying to get the 1 without getting cheated out of it. Like,
well, I'm talking about being put on the, you know, the special
right.
mantle. There's a special mantle for great, great clubs, like the Big Red Machine, like those Oakland A's teams of the 70s, like the Yankees of the late 90s and the 70s. You've got to win 2 at least to be put on that special mantle. And, you know, as great as the 86 Mets were, without a second title, they were great for that 1 year. That's it.
Pedro, because the season is so compacted, do you think we're going to see moves right out of the gate? That, you know, I know that old axiom that, you know, you got 2 months to look, you got 2 months to fix, and then 2 months to play. I mean, are we talking about 3-week windows with the same sort of idea?
Yeah, I truly believe this. And I think that clubs that are looking not at 2020, but clubs that are looking at improving themselves for 2021 and 2022, and maybe they look at their rosters and say, you know, we're putting something together, but it's not maybe necessarily going to be ready this year, but they've got a piece that maybe is going to be a free agent in a year or two. I think those clubs are going to be saying, hey, we're here, we're ready to listen to anything you as a contender right now have to offer. And I think that could happen within a few weeks, that we're going to see clubs willing to deal somebody that may not be part of their plans for a year or two from now, but maybe somebody who can help somebody who believes they can win this year. And you may be able to get something nice in return because of the sprint that it's going to be to get into the postseason this year. If you're a contending club, or you think you're a contending club, and there's a piece from, I'm just going to throw out the Tigers, the Giants, the Royals, the Orioles, whatever, a club that probably doesn't have a serious or legitimate chance to win this year, you may say, look, we want that player for as long as we can during these 60 games. So if we can get him for 45 or 50 games, let's make the deal right now.
Pedro, obviously this year is in a weird for a lot of reasons. But is there anything that we need to be concerned about the reassignment with Gavin Lux? This is simply just about, this is 60 games, we're trying to win a chip, we don't have time to let you develop. Is that the only thing that this represents?
Probably so. I mean, he's under control for 6 years more. So, look, not everybody, some players may need a little bit more time to get ready. This was a 3-week spring training, so to speak, and only consisted of 2 to 3 games other than inter-squad games. So when you're looking at, you know, there's a reason they play 28, 30 spring training games. You get to truly see somebody and see them get ready for the regular season. And, you know, the Dodgers don't believe Gavin Lux is ready right now to be able to do that. They are fortunate that they have so many players that can move around and play different positions. You know, a Kike Hernandez, a Max Muncy. I mean, they've got other players that can play second base. So it's not a dire need right now for them because of the way their roster is built. But look, I think it's just one of those things where Gavin Lux just needed more time to get ready. And this abbreviated spring training, summer training, just didn't offer it for a contending club. If the Dodgers were the Tigers or the Royals, I think Gavin Lux would have made the opening day roster. And you just say, let him just learn how to swim in the deep end of the pool. We're okay. But the Dodgers aren't in that position. They're ready to hit the ground running.
Pedro Gomez covers baseball for go ahead, quickly.
I have one quick question from a diehard Dodger fan that asks, if the team wins a chip but loses in one or two other trips, can they still be a great team?
If the team wins a championship and does what? Loses what?
And then goes to the World Series again but loses like two or three more times, but they got the one. Are they still a great team?
Well, the Braves did that. The Braves went to like four or five World Series and only won one. You really, to be on that special mantle, that extra special mantle that exists, you need at least two rings with that same core group. That's why the Giants are okay. They won in 10, 12, and 14. They won three in a five-year span. I mean, if you win a second title with that same core group in a short period of time, you're just placed on a special level in baseball history, in, you know, lore.
All right.
But that's all right.
Well, I'll
not
text
the answer
Dave
you
Roberts
wanted,
back and tell him. No, I'll text Dave back and says no.
Yeah. Pedro, thanks for coming on. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, you got it. LZ, you just gave me one more take it or shake it right there, too. We're going to do that next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, LZ, you inspired a take it or shake it with your last question right there to Pedro. If the Dodgers win a World Series this season, their run of eight consecutive titles and a world championship will classify them as a dynasty. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. You're no dynasty.
Shake it. Y'all know I love me some Dodgers. Y'all know that I'm a big fan. I'm a homer, blah, 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 blah. But I'm also a realist, and I'm going to keep it real with you. Ain't nobody looking at no damn division titles cobbled together to make any kind of decisions about how great of a franchise you were, what kind of run you were on. The division titles are nice little things for teams that are up and coming. But for legit squads, it's literally like not even a factor. It's not even a factor to legit squads. No one brags about division titles. Not if you're legit.
But it's not just a division title. It is also, again, keep in mind, we're assuming a World Series win this year. It would be three World Series appearances, one title, and one of those championships that they did not win is heavily, heavily tainted.
I don't care, Travis. I don't care. No one in 20 years, they're going to ask two questions. Why were people so crazy about those damn Popeye's chicken sandwiches? And who were the most dominant team during this stretch? And you can't say you were the dominant team during this stretch if you only have one chip to show for it. And no one cares about the details. No one cares about the details.
They've been the dominant team for the better part of 10 years.
But no one considered them among the greats. We've already moved on.
We've moved on because they got one chip.
Yes, one would be a good start.
All right, let's take a listen to Booger McFarland talking about whether or not Patrick Mahomes is a Hall of Famer now.
You still have to put in consistent work over time. He's only been in the league 3 years, and I realize that we are prisoners of the moment, and we want to say, book it, he's a Hall of Famer. But Greeny, the Hall of Fame is meant for not only great play, but great play over a sustained period of time, consistency. That's the conversation we have all the time, and we had with Kurt Warner. Did he do it long enough? And Kurt Warner played a hell of a lot longer than Patrick Mahomes. So I would say, as much as we love him, and he's the best player in the National Football League, is he a Hall of Famer today? Nah, not yet.
No one can be a Hall of Famer short of playing 10 years in your sport. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. Oh. Shake it.
Denver running back.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to be real honest for a second. There are some dudes at the quarterback position who have outstanding numbers and are in the Hall of Fame. And those dudes would be a distant second to Patrick Mahomes. We need to recognize what we're seeing.
Just
here.
Go ahead and say it, Elsie. You're talking about Joe Namath. You're talking about Joe Namath. Go ahead and say it.
That's a start. That was different. That's a start. That's a start. But I'm just saying, if you're there, if you're looking and you're going, yeah, I'd rather have that guy in his third year than a guy who's in the Hall of Fame. This is essentially the conversation, right? Would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or let's go with your example, Joe Namath. Would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or Troy Aikman? I'd rather have Patrick. So if you're doing that already in his second year, then hell, forget about protocol. Forget about, if you're not saying he still has more to prove, then why are you holding him back trying to prove something? He has no more to prove already. It's incredible. It's ridiculous. It's bonkers. But he's not the only one who has accomplished that kind of a feat. So yeah, I'm good with Patrick Mahomes being considered a Hall of Famer 10 years shy. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think there is a minimum requirement as far as just time served, because while he is certainly on a path, I'll use this as an example. Mike Trout, after 2 or 3 years in baseball, you're like, oh, this is a Hall of Fame level talent. This is somebody that needs to go do it. And then Mike Trout has followed up his first couple of years where he's winning MVPs and runner-ups with more MVPs and has solidified himself. Mike Trout never took another at-bat. He's going straight to the Hall of Fame. But we just don't know what Patrick – I would be shocked if it didn't continue like this, but if he has an injury, if he has something else that happens along the way and he ends up having two amazing years at the beginning of his career and then the next 8 or 9 are just – kind of pedestrian, you don't put him in the Hall of Fame for 2 good seasons.
Well, I don't know. Why are you keeping him out? What hasn't he done?
He had 2 good seasons to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You can't even, I mean, there's been guys, if Lamar Jackson doesn't go into the Hall of Fame, he was an MVP, right? And Lamar Jackson had a great season and a half. But if he doesn't go and do more along the way, It takes more than a season or two. You got to put up the better part of 7 or 8 of these things to at least get consideration, I think.
If it is longevity. Listen,
I think the Hall – I believe the Hall of Fame should be in the – oh, go! Blake that did it.
That was a nice one from the 18-yard line.
No, that was
that makes
nice.
2 in 2 days.
Be quiet, Travis.
Listen, I hear where you're coming from. Shut up, Travis. I hear what you're saying in terms of longevity, but I think the Hall of Fame should be for 2 things. I think it should represent great careers, and I think it should also represent great players. And I don't think those things are necessarily synonymous.
All right, let's go to another NFL topic right here. Here's Dan Graziano talking about whether we have seen the last of NFL preseason games.
Sadly, no. I would approve of such a plan. I think preseason games are a terrible thing and they should be eliminated, but I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, when you read the new CBA that was just signed in March, there are stipulations about when the regular season goes to 17 games. Remember when we were talking about this, by the way, every day? When the regular season goes to 17 games, the preseason goes down to 3. So the owners still want to keep that slate of 20 gates, right? Of 10 home games for each team, whether it's 8 in the regular season or 9 in the regular season, and then either 1 or 2 in the preseason. So no, they still see them as a revenue source, and they do still see them as a real helpful evaluation tool. So I would be surprised if this was anything more than a one-year blip. Hopefully, we're still not dealing with this a year from now.
With the genie out of the bottle, we will never see preseason games again. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, shake it.
They're here to stay.
Shake it. They are definitely here to stay because I do believe that the ownership group, as well as leaders, you know, amongst the players, recognize that while they don't get anything out of preseason games, the fans do. Fans who may not have any other opportunity to interact with or see their favorite teams or just a football game in general. You know, the NBA hosts preseason games in cities that don't own franchises because it's their only opportunity to be this close to great players. That's what you do when you're a smart league. You service your fans and try to give them as many opportunities to enjoy the sport as possible. So I think because of that, for sure, you're going to see more preseason games.
All right. The Lakers are in the bubble, and one of their players decided not to leave and left something big behind. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.